Addiction is a strong compulsion to do something harmful. It affects the brain supply and utilization of neurotransmitters, such as dopamine, the brain's feel-good chemical. End of quote. That's from Dr. Greg Jantz. He joins us right now. He's written a book called Healing the Scars of Addiction. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Jantz is our guest. Let me just say a little bit about him beyond the fact that he's the author of this book. He is a certified eating disorder specialist, certified chemical dependency counselor, a nationally certified psychologist, and a licensed mental health counselor. He's also the author of 28 books. And I guess he doesn't sleep. Dr. Jantz, welcome back to the program. Thank you for being with us. You're a busy guy.
It's good to be with you, and what an important topic we have.
Yes, absolutely. And by the way, you're also the founder of The Center, a place of hope, listed as one of the top 10 facilities for treatment of depression in the United States. That's very impressive, sir.
Well, thank you. And we believe there's hope.
Okay, good. The website for that, by the way, is aplaceofhope.com. All right, let's focus on addiction. And I've even heard recently where some people are saying, hey, look, there's addiction to your little online device.
Well, I would say there is a technology addiction. One of the things that, and we work with folks who come in from all over the country to work with us on addiction, on such things as depression. And I'll tell you that individuals will have some of the same withdrawal symptoms. So if you may know somebody that they're more intimate with their device, their smartphone, than they are with people. And you take that away from them, and in a day or two, they've got sweaty palms and increased respirations and heart rates up, and they're sweaty because they are going through some withdrawal signs from their technology.
Yeah. All right. Now, apart from technology addiction, here's a question for you. What is different about addictions today than in the past? And again, obviously, I'm not talking about, you know, addiction to cell phone. Let's talk about it, sexual addiction or, you know, drug addiction or addiction to alcohol or overeating.
You know, one of the things that we're seeing is increase of addictive behavior earlier ages. And you mentioned, you know, that we've got pornography on the Internet. So one of the keys is accessibility. These things being so accessible. That's one. The other is that we have more ways now to become addicted. Take cannabis, marijuana, being readily available in so many states by legalizing it. And, you know, there are people that would argue, but that can be is and can be very addictive. So
hey,
we just have more ways.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You keep going. Finish your sentence.
More ways to become addicted, and of course, there's the just technology addiction in general.
Okay, if you don't mind, how about a comment or two about marijuana? I'm not sure if everybody's thought this through well, in the sense that there's still going to be, whether marijuana, you know, becomes legal in more and more places, the fact is you still will have consequences to those who use marijuana, and the legalization won't change the biology. And I understand that, you know, marijuana can affect one's thinking, it can affect driving, it can affect performance in terms of mental alertness and so forth. Comment on that, if you would.
Yes. I'll tell you what we see with this. We see individuals that didn't start out with the dependency, but they developed a dependency or reliance, and we say, well, because it's a mood, it changes our mood, so it's a mood elevator, temporary. We see a lot of folks who have used marijuana for a period of time come to us with really a lot of anxiousness, so increased anxieties, and I have to use this substance in order to feel, quote, normal. But, you know, like any addiction, it's a vicious pattern that just keeps cycling.
Do addictions thrive in secret?
And what we mean by that, Jerry, is addictions we try to do things in secret. It's the pornography in secret. It's the drinking in secret. And the more we isolate with those secrets, the more we do that, the more it increases the whole area of power that are strongholds. So the more secret I am, the more deception and the more power that it has.
Okay, comment on pornographic addictions.
You know, we're seeing young men, young boys, I should say, age 9 seems to be around the average age to exposure of pornography on the internet, age 9. And we see the kids start to use pornography early on. Again, it's secretive. And we've seen young people, 16, 17, who really have all the indications of sexual addiction in their life. It is controlling them.
Now, you as a psychologist, I assume you treat different people with different types of addictions, correct?
Well, our facility here does, yes.
Okay, good. Well, how about if you give us a success story or two? And obviously don't mention any names, but I think this might help people to understand how did the person become addicted, and then what did you do to help them overcome that?
Sure. So an addiction, I think we see a lot of people who dance between addictions. It's the person in ministry that has had a secret addiction for so long. And I think of an individual who, as a pastor, never, ever thought they would end up with any type of an addiction problem and had a secret addiction to pornography. And then this particular person had some surgery, was given some pain pills, and really developed an opiate addiction. Mm. And the shame and guilt of taking pain pills and secretive pornography, you know, took this person down a route where one Sunday afternoon after some church services, found themselves rolled up in a ball on the kitchen floor, just in excruciating despair of what had happened and the guilt and the shame. And that was a point of intervention. That was a point where this pastor says, I have to get help. And so, you know, 4 or 6 weeks later, we began to see some real change because the power of addiction can affect anyone, can reach out to anybody. Well, so I just want to say there's hope.
Yeah, well, okay, in that particular case, I mean, again, don't mention any names or anything, but what was the breakthrough for him that helped him change a few weeks later? After seeing you,
the breakthrough was first of all the acknowledgement that I need help. That acknowledgement,
is that like the biggest key? I mean, it starts there, kind of, for the breakthrough, is to realize you have a problem.
It really does. It starts there, where it says, you know what, I can't do this anymore. My life is out of control, and out of control means that I am at a place of despair. I'm at a place of helplessness. I know that I need to have help. I need God's help in my life. So that's a huge place to come to. You know, we can rationalize, we can deny and say, no, it's no big deal, it's not hurting anybody. But in reality, we're lying to ourselves. And an addiction is a ticking time bomb. Eventually, it will go off.
Wow, that's well put. Okay, the Bible says, let him who thinks he's strong watch out lest he fall. Your thoughts?
Yeah, because that means, also says we're all potentially vulnerable. And by that, I mean we are vulnerable to having an addiction, to have trauma in our life. And so let's stay humble. Let's stay grateful.
Hmm. All right, good. I understand you make the point that recovery is never a straightforward path. Why is that? Because different people have different ways of dealing with this issue successfully?
And there's a lot to learn along that path. you know, I think the people may relapse, and then there's something to learn. So the process of getting stronger does usually, you walk through some valleys that where I need to address some things in my life. So that is so important.
Do you think some people are addicted, but they're in denial about their addiction?
Yes, I do. And that's really common. So it's like, well, this is not hurting anybody. It's no big deal. I don't have to, you know, do anything, or I can always change. I won't do this again. And we play those games with ourselves.
I understand you make a point that quote unquote addiction sets the agenda. What does that mean?
Well, that means addiction's going to win. Addiction sets the agenda, and that I will manipulate time, people, money, anything to keep my addiction going as center stage.
There's a beautiful prayer. I was talking with a friend who's been involved with Alcoholics Anonymous, and this prayer is used there widely. I believe it's attributed to Dr. Reinhold Niebuhr, the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that prayer.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a humbling prayer. And it's also a prayer that really says, Lord God, I have to have your help. I am humbled. And that's a prayer that places you in the hands of God. We understand something greater than us has to save us.
Can you explain what dopamine is and how does that fit into addictions?
Sure. Dopamine is just one of our brain chemicals. We sometimes hear it called the feel-good chemical. If you exercise and have, you've maybe heard the word endorphins, dopamine is one of those chemicals in the brain that drugs manipulate. It causes euphoria, and we know that most drugs alter that dopamine, and we'll have cravings, intense cravings. This is why an opiate or heroin addiction, it seems like a person will do anything in order to have that substance. And that's the power of addiction.
What about a situation where somebody feels like they're not addicted, but is there kind of a self-test they can take to see, well, maybe I am addicted in this particular area? Does that make sense?
Well, yes, and I would encourage them with some good surveys that we have on the website, A Place of Hope, A Place of Hope, and just start by getting some information. And really, honestly, as good as my book is on addiction, you know, we're going to probably need more than a book.
Sure. Yeah, okay. We have about a minute to go, and how about a comment about loved ones of those who are addicted?
You know, we all have somebody in our life that we will do absolutely anything for, absolutely anything. And that's the person who, you know, the mom who told me, you know what, I gave my 18-year-old son $20. I know exactly what he's going to do, and I just love him so much. Well, giving a person who's an addict money is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We call that enabling. But that's the power of living with a person with an addiction. Sometimes we maybe even inadvertently end up enabling that behavior.
But as you said earlier, there's always hope if you do it the right way, especially, you know, bringing it to the Lord. aplaceofhope.com. Also, Dr. Gregory Jantz, JANTZ.com for more information. Again, the name of Dr. Jantz's book is called Healing the Scars of Addiction. Thank you, Dr. Jantz, for being with us.
Oh, good to be with you always.
Okay, great. Bye-bye now.